This is Honest Reporting with Simon Plasker, keeping an eye on media bias and fake news.
And good afternoon, Simon Plasker. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Kathy? It's been a very long time.
It's been too darn long, Simon. So, and I'm sure that we have a lot to talk about. Firstly, can we talk about the New York Times?
We can, unfortunately. So, of course, I'm sure your listeners are well aware of the horrific terrorist attack that took place just the other day at the Barkhane Industrial Zone. So, I mean, I think one thing before we get on to the New York Times, I think it's worth pointing out that so many media outlets didn't even bother to cover this. And this was a particularly, you know, a terrible attack. Horrible. It was a horrible thing that this poor young woman with a 1-year-old son, Kim Levengrund Yehezkel, was tied up and literally executed by this Palestinian terrorist. And bearing in mind that that's what happened, and it was clear what had happened, the New York Times, its headline, its initial headline was, "Israel says Palestinian killed two Israelis in West Bank attack."
It might not have happened. Is that what they're saying?
Well, that's it. Like, it might not have happened. Wow. I mean, like, it's kind of like the equivalent of, I don't know, you know, America says, the US says that the Twin Towers were brought down by terrorists or something. You know, clearly this happened. And what was even stranger about this particular story in the headline was that the New York Times correspondent herself had already written up the story that this headline actually accompanied. And, you know, she actually said that this attack had taken place. And if you're talking about Israel says something had happened, well, she even wrote that Hamas and Islamic Jihad had praised the attack. So even the Palestinians themselves were acknowledging that an attack had taken place. And, of course, you know, they were quite proud of it. Unfortunately, it wasn't just the New York Times that got this wrong initially. CNN started talking about a workplace dispute on the basis, of course, that this Palestinian happened to be an electrician who worked at the industrial zone and perhaps even knew his victims. However, it is clear beyond doubt that this Palestinian terrorist, that he carried out this attack for nationalistic reasons.
Yeah.
And I think the media have failed also to report that this Palestinian apparently wrote a suicide note a few days beforehand. And what is not made clear to so many people around the world is that if you are a Palestinian who decides you want to end your own life, then the best way to do it is to go out killing some Israelis, some innocent Israelis, because your family will then get a salary for the rest of their lives, courtesy of the Palestinian Authority.
Simon, why do you think other media have not covered this? And the reason I ask is, I mean, I've got my own ideas around that. We can chat about that, but I'd like to hear from you. I mean, you're a media analyst. That's what you do.
Yes, I'm afraid to say I think it has a lot to do with the location of the attack.
Yeah.
It's almost as if, because these people were in, the disputed territories, the West Bank, however you want to call it, therefore, in the eyes of some of the media, they shouldn't have been there in the first place, and therefore they deserved it. And it's not a story because, of course, you know, Palestinians, in the eyes of some people, are entitled to attack Israelis if they are in what some people would consider to be Palestinian territory. Of course, that's something I completely disagree with, and it's part of the media way of dehumanizing Israelis who happen to live or work over the Green Line, on one side of the Green Line.
Yeah. So I've looked at this, and my ideas around why this hasn't made international stories is, or international news anyway, is that it was in the Barkhane Industrial Park. The Barkhane Industrial Park being set up to be a place where both Palestinians and Israelis work together. It's about cooperation. It's about coexistence. And the fact that this has happened there is kind of making me question whether this is possible, if it would ever be possible for Israelis and Palestinians to live and work together. Are you with me?
Well, yes, and I think I'm absolutely with you, and I think why this is newsworthy in itself is because it is so unusual. Thankfully,
they were colleagues.
That,
they were colleagues.
That something could happen here in that industrial zone.
Yeah, I mean, they were colleagues. They worked together. It is the most mind.
Well, I mean, I don't know about work together in the sense of being sort of, you and your producer or me and my colleagues at desks nearby. This was an electrician who happened to work in the particular area. So I'm not even sure that they were necessarily, that well acquainted, but you're right. Absolutely. There are Palestinians and Israelis, working together side by side in that industrial zone, and it had been held up as a model for how we could all live and work together.
Can we please just move on? Ahed Tamimi, she's on a world tour. Now, for anybody who doesn't remember, or that name sounds familiar, but you can't place her, Simon, tell us who Ahed Tamimi is.
Well, Ahed Tamimi, I'm almost sighing here because...
No, we heard it.
It's been a story now that's... Yeah, it's been going on for a long time now because I'm sure people remember. This is the redhead, Western-looking Palestinian girl who slapped an Israeli soldier and was arrested and jailed for several months. Now, there's a whole issue as to, whether it was the right thing to do to jail her or not. Unfortunately... She has milked it for all it's worth in terms of PR. She's been traveling around the world, giving interviews to news stations. She even appeared with the Real Madrid football team. As a football fan, I was disgusted. I'm going to support Barcelona from now on. But Ahed Tamimi's latest appearance is on the front cover of Vogue, albeit Vogue Arabia.
And
it's being translated, I believe, for the British edition. But here we have a wonderfully photoshopped photo of Ahed Tamimi on the front cover, looking very stylish. And she certainly doesn't look like she just spent several months in an Israeli prison. Believe me, if she was in any other prison in the Middle East, she would be a hell of a lot thinner, for sure.
You did not just comment on her weight. Simon Plaska. All right, Simon, very, very quickly, I want to talk about this Irish teacher.
Yes, not someone you'd want teaching your kids, believe me.
Yeah.
This was in a media website called Irish Central, which deals with Irish expats. There are a lot of them around the world. It's based in America. And she went on a trip to the Palestinian territories. And the amount of misinformation in this article was truly awe-inspiring. I mean, it starts with what she calls the wall, the wall around the West Bank. She describes it as more or less just one wall. Anyone who's been here will know that 90% of Israel's security barrier is a fence, an electronic fence. So that's wrong. Her imagination is running wild at this point because she then goes to a checkpoint and she says it's littered with leather belts, kids' shoes and sneakers. And Ooh. She says these are all items that have to be taken off going through the daily checkpoint. Ooh. Now, this is really, really bizarre because it's kind of like airport security, where you take off belts and shoes and things, but you normally get them back afterwards.
Yes. So what is she saying? Israel's keeping them?
Well, exactly. I can't actually figure out what was going on here. And I asked someone from the IDF and they couldn't either because clearly there are not Palestinians wandering around with no shoes and their belts missing, going to work in the morning. So that's really, really strange. But it didn't end there. She then went to Hebron and she said that she was stopped and asked her religion and told she couldn't enter this paved main road as she's a Christian.
Now,
Israeli soldiers don't ask people their religions and certainly don't say, oh, you're Christian, you go down this other path, you can't go this way or that way. So again, one wonders what on earth was going on here. It just doesn't sound real.
Doesn't sound plausible.
And
yeah.
No, absolutely not. And that was just, and then she came up with all these strange inaccuracies about, for example, Palestinians in the eastern side of Jerusalem, which she says that, in fact, let's go back a bit here. She talks about Palestinians with Israeli citizenship, people that we would perhaps call, Arab Israelis or Israeli Arabs.
Funny.
And she says they have to pay for a piece of paper allowing them to enter into Jerusalem for work. That's nonsense. They're Israeli citizens. They have freedom of movement everywhere around Israel. So I can't believe that this Irish Central, whilst they published a couple of letters, wouldn't correct any of this. And in fact, the letters page, this was incredible. It was headlined, Jewish readers respond strongly to recent Israel-Palestinian article.
Really? So
since when was it acceptable to start presuming the religion of the people writing into you?
That is crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Simon, has a journalist ever been lost their job because of, you know, just poor reporting that you've pointed out? Because I know you do deal with the editors and you do deal with media owners.
I suppose the most famous case was as far back as maybe 2008. I think we scored our biggest hit when the senior Middle East editor at CNN tweeted about her how upset she was when a founder of Hezbollah died. Uh-huh. And we exposed this, and 48 hours later, she was not working for CNN anymore. So it is possible to do, but generally you'll find that most journalists keep their jobs.
Yeah. And I'm sure that that's probably not what you seek to do. You know, you don't want people to lose their jobs. You just want them to tell the truth and honest reporting.
Right. You know, and hold them to account and make sure they get taught a lesson and make sure they report accurately in the future.
Simon Pluska, that is where we leave it. Thank you very, very much. I have really missed speaking to you, sir.
Likewise. So hopefully next week.
All right. Thank you so much.